First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you decided to join us and hope you enjoyed this week's message.
In our devotion last month, we read from the first letter that Paul had written to the Corinthians, and he scolded them. He scolded them because they weren't doing God's work. He told them, you're coming into the church, you're getting drunk, you're misleading people, there's fornication rampant. Well, we all like happy endings. In the second letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, they all repented. The leadership repented. Those who were committing fornication repented. And the church was back online again. Well, this morning we're going to look at another apostle, the Apostle John. Now, John isn't scolding anyone. He's just giving us the facts. The Jews always wanted to give Jesus a hard time. Not all of them, but a small minority. They always wanted to jealousy. They kept picking at him, trying to find something that they could take back to the Sanhedrin, back to the Pharisees, and said, hey, Jesus said this, Jesus said that. Go arrest him. So we're going to look at the sixth chapter in the book of John. We're going to read through some things. We're going to skip through some things until we get down to the meat of the scripture. In verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent. And down to verse 35, Jesus said to them, he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Down to verse 38, it says, for I have come from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing. Down in verse 41 now, the Jews are starting to ramp up. The Jews complained about him and said, because he said, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. And they said, isn't this Jesus, whose mother and father, Joseph, we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them and said, don't murmur among yourselves. You understand. Down in verse 47, he said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life, because I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, but they're dead. They all died. This is the bread which came down from heaven. I am the bread which came down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will give. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the whole world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves again, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? This unleavened bread that we're about to take in communion represents Jesus' body. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood, which is the juice that represents Jesus' blood, has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats of my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I will abide with him forever. Let's have a prayer. Almighty God and Lord Jesus, we come now, Lord, to partake of this unleavened bread, which represents your body, your sinless body, and this juice, Lord, that represents your saving blood. For without the shedding of blood, Lord, we'd have no forgiveness. We ask your blessing on our hearts now, Lord, as we partake of this communion. Help us to be reverent, Lord, as we remember what you went through just for us, that we might have salvation and live with you for eternity. Bless our hearts now, Lord, and bless our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you here. I'm still recovering from yesterday's spring retreat at Elkhorn with 40 first through third graders. It was fun. We had a great time. It was fantastic. I woke up this morning with a headache, so I took my regular dosage of 2 Excedrin full of caffeine. So if I start to jitter and just float across the stage, you'll know why. I'm feeling good. The headache is not a thing. Excedrin works great for me. It is fantastic to be here with you. I see some faces from my home. Good morning, guys. Good morning, good morning. Isn't it great to be at home, to feel at home? And it's nice when your home comes to you when you're not at home. But I've got another home here, so I'm on cloud nine. This is great. If you would, take a look at your bulletins. There's some important things going on here locally, and there's one thing that's going on Tuesday this week. So in 2 days, that's not in a bulletin. We're doing a community lunch here for everybody in the community. So if you can spread the word with your neighbors and your friends, tell them to come here Tuesday between 11 and 1. We've got free food for them. They can eat in or they can pick it up and run. It does not matter to us. We want to be here to help the community as we're still dealing with the derailment and all the fallout after that that we have to work through. Your prayers are much appreciated. We've had nothing but support. The phone rings off the hook all day long with people wanting to give us aid. And it's an answered prayer. So keep the prayers coming for the town, because we're going to need it indefinitely until we get this all sorted out. But so far, so good. You can praise God for all the answered prayers that we've received for this during this. I think I'll stop there. If you would you join me in silent prayer for a short time this morning and getting our hearts and our minds ready to hear the word? Amen. All right. Good. Let's test this out. I didn't test this out yet. Aha. We're good. The King who died for me. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Before I get in there, there are some important facts you need to know in your life. Very important facts that you can share with your friends and neighbors. About a good role model in my life. Have you ever heard of him? His name is Chuck Norris. Did you know that Chuck Norris has never cheated death? He wins fair and square. Did you also know that the seismic scale has a magnitude above 9 that not too many people know about? It's known as the sneeze of Chuck Norris. Lastly, it's important to know what's going on in this universe around us. Do you know that scientists have observed that it is constantly expanding? The reason for that is it's trying to get away from Chuck Norris. Share these with your friends. They need to know this, okay? All right, more importantly, we need to cover some important things today. And I want to explain to you how life works, what's important in this life. Most of us in this room, probably all of us in this room, know the first point, that we were made perfect. God, in his infinite wisdom, creates everyone perfectly. Sin has messed up the physical world, but spiritually, we are perfect. Secondly, when we got old enough to run life our own way, we messed it up. Lastly, out of necessity, there was a man who is our king who chose to lay down his life for us and save us from our own turmoil, our own destruction that we chose to create. So this morning I want you to see these three things brought out and put them in place in your life. Share them with those that you're with, because a lot of the people that we know are stuck at that second point. Their lives are messed up. If we really truly believe that there's help for them, I want us to be able to share that help with them, and I want them to desire it and find it and get plugged into it and find out there is a Savior in this world that can fix their brokenness and restore them to their ultimate purpose to be with God forever in fellowship in eternal life. So let's get right into it. Let's read Ephesians 1 through 4, 1 through 4. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. We didn't get here until 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago. But yet he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God has had his mind on us from the very beginning, because he's all-knowing. He's known about us from before the foundation of the world and has patiently waited for us to arrive here and now so that we could grow up and learn how we can have a relationship with him and that he does love us. I love reading about this verse because the world challenges us. The world says you don't have a purpose. You are an accident. I believe the exact opposite. I was purposefully made, and I'm here for a purpose. Psalms 139, 13, and 14, For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. I happen to know that little girl there. She's my oldest daughter, 15 years ago. She was fearfully and wonderfully made. I was going to put my baby pictures up there, but it broke my computer, so yeah, I can't have them. But there's one beautiful baby girl. There's my firstborn son there, Mr. Trey. There's my Lily as we're out eating sushi. Here she is, photobombing her sister Adelaide. And there's my little Carter. Those kids, you all, were all fearfully and wonderfully made. You were created perfect in God's wonderful creative work, and you were designed to have a relationship with him for all of eternity. That's our purpose. That's what we're here for. And as we live our lives day to day, it's in pursuit of that, in pursuit of being in a relationship with God. And it's not something that happens after we're dead. It's something that we're doing now, actively. So I'm training up these little rugrats to do that very thing. Develop their relationship with Jesus and walk with him day to day in their lives. Look, they're so stinking cute. Man, I wonder who their parent... Oh, wait, that's me. Yep. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So it's not just the flesh and blood that God created. It's the spirit that he made to live inside of us. The spirit that is not the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about our own souls. But then when we get to be old enough, we get to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Christ in us, to help us walk our daily walk. But he made us in his image. He's spirit. And he made us spirits. So the skin and the flesh and the bones that we have are temporary, but our spirits are eternal. They're supposed to be everlasting, and they're supposed to be in fellowship with him. Just like he's in fellowship with God the Son and God the Spirit. They're in unity with one another, yet they retain their individual identities. But they're 100% united with one another, and they are one. We're in that equation. We are supposed to be united with him, just like the Son and the Holy Spirit are united with God the Father. It blows the mind. I can't explain it to you, but that's our purpose, is to be eternally in heaven with him. It's amazing. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Let's not forget that. Let's know that our souls and our lives are destined for eternal life. There's an opposite to that that I really don't want to go into too much because it's terrible. Next week is Resurrection Sunday, where we get to focus on such a wonderful story that has changed the world over, that transformed what the world looks like today. And I'm not going to steal Bob's thunder for next week. We're going to stay far, far away from that topic, and I'm going to make you patiently wait until next week when he shares that with us. So today, I'm going to focus on what happened before that wonderful morning when the tomb was empty. We're going to move that forward a little bit farther and focus on the cost that had to be paid before that wonderful morning arrived. So I apologize if we're a little more sober today, but be patient with me. Come back next week and we can do our jumping up and down, praise God, hallelujah time next week. This week, we can still do that, but it's not good for us to forget or to ignore or overlook the price that was paid to get us to the point where we can celebrate. This idea that we were created perfect is really echoed in Mark 10:15. He says, truly I say to you, Jesus is talking to his disciples and all those in the crowd. The children are trying to come to him, and the disciples are kind of missing the mark a little bit. They think kids are a distraction. I agree. But they're also a wonderful blessing, and that can't be denied. And I love that they are wonderful blessings, but they can be distractions. And the disciples were trying to let Jesus speak uninterrupted, but Jesus stops right there in his tracks, and he says, "Now, bring the kids here. We're going to do a little object lesson right now. Let's bring the kids." And he sat them right up on his lap, and he shared this truth with everybody that was in the crowd, and his disciples were there listening too, and he says, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. So we have to go back to being kids again? We have to start coloring with crayons? I don't get, what are we talking about when we have to receive the kingdom of God like a child? I love that Jesus takes the physical child and says, you need to be like this guy right here. You need to be like this child or you're not getting into heaven. That's a pretty cool challenge. I like that he's telling us to keep our minds young. Keep our minds like a child's mind and trying to understand how the world works around us. When you tell a child that God loves them, and when you do good things for your children, they trust you and they believe you, and that's a fact. When they go to school and their teachers ask them, do your parents love you? They say, yes, they do, 100%. There's no doubt in their mind at all. That's what Jesus is trying to get our adult minds to understand, that the faith that a child has needs to remain the faith that an adult has in their lives as they grow older. That when God proves to you something, and when God shows you something, and when God leads you a certain direction, our mindsets are mindsets that should faithfully follow him, faithfully trust him, and faithfully believe him. I love that we were created perfect and innocent. There's nobody in here that can tell me when you're holding a little baby in your arms that that child is not perfect and the absolute ideal that should be the standard of everything else in this world. Little babies are absolutely perfect and totally innocent. And they're a wonderful visual for us to understand. That's what God originally designed. And that's what God is bringing us back to. Totally 100% perfect and innocent. And our faith and our hope are going to be maturing one day when Jesus comes back again, or when we leave this world and we get to see eternity firsthand. We won't have to hope for it anymore. It'll be realized. We won't have to believe that it's there anymore. We'll know. And we can live in that love that propels us through this life, through eternity. The love never goes away. The love will remain. Very cool. So, that perfection that we were given from God, that innocence that we were given from God, we got older. We took the wheel. We said, we're going to run life the way we want to run it. And we polluted it with sin. We messed it up. At some point in our lives, we became old enough to realize what was sin, and we chose sin over God. Romans 3:23 proves this out. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53:6 says the same thing. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Jesus. That's where we're at today. It's important that we realize we deserve the punishment, but Jesus voluntarily took it for us. That's what brings us here this morning. That's why we're into the Word, so we can remember that. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. If you're going to sin in this life, it's going to fall in one of those three categories: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or the boastful pride of life. There is no other category. All sin, you can boil down to one of those three categories. They're not from God. They're sin. It's what separates us from God by doing those things. We were designed to be in fellowship with him for all of eternity. There is hope. We don't have to dwell here on our lost state. We can move out of this lost state. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is getting into the saved state through our King. Romans 5:8-9. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. That blood is not a comfortable subject for me. If we're ever in a situation, you and me alone, and you get cut and you're bleeding real bad, I will help you. But if it's me, you, and your friend, I'll tell your friend good luck and I'm out. Okay? I understand how important Jesus' blood is to us, that he shed that voluntarily for us to take away our spiritual separation from God. I'll never ignore that. But when I see blood, I'm going to pass out on the floor, okay? Out of necessity, that separation that we had brought in our lives because of sin from God, We separated ourselves from God because of sin. There was a penalty that needed to be paid. God is so just and holy that the offender deserves death. How sad and disappointing is it that we did that voluntarily in our lives and had to put Jesus in the position where he had to make that decision to pay the price for us. I hate to dwell on that, but it is truth that Jesus had to die on that cross because of what we did and how we messed up. What's really cool is that even if only one of us in this room sinned and messed up, he would have done it for us. That one person, he would have done it. That's a good king. 1 Peter 1:18 through 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. That sacrifice that needed to be made to pay for the price of our judgment had to be perfect. It had to be innocent. It had to be Jesus, because he was both perfect and innocent. He didn't deserve that punishment. John 19:18-19, they crucified him with two other men, one on either side and Jesus in between. Pilate wrote an inscription and put it on the cross, and it said, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Pilate wrote this not understanding that his confession there was 100% true. Jesus was the king. He wasn't just the king of the Jews. He ended up being the king of the whole world. But isn't that crazy that Pilate, an unbelieving man, an unrepentant man, still spoke truth when he wrote that on that cross? You can't hide the truth. The truth always shows up. Even though Pilate didn't admit it, he confessed it. And it was there for everybody to see that was there that day with Jesus on the cross. Even though they didn't believe it, did that change it? It was still 100% fact, 100% true. He is king. If Pilate understood that, there's no way Jesus would have been on that cross. The Jews would not have been able to get him out of his hands because Pilate had control of multiple Roman soldiers that would not have let that happen. But what was God's plan? God's plan was to allow that sacrifice to happen. I like how God's plans always carry through. And man can't get in the way. Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Savior, this Jesus whom you crucified. So there's the exclamation point that the disciples draw on the conclusion of the cross. And I'm not going to steal next week's thunder. That Jesus is the King. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Revelation 1:5. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. Ruler of the kings of the earth. What does that make him? King of kings. The best. Number one. We have presidents in this world. We have leaders. We have celebrities that are all around us. And they walk around with security details for their own protection. These security details will sacrifice their lives to protect the life of whoever it is that's paying them the money to do so. Be it a president, be it a celebrity, it doesn't matter. What did our king do for us? Did he ask us to lay down our lives to protect his? Or did he lay down his life to protect ours? That's what I want to get across this morning, that our king has set himself apart from the rest of the world, that he chose to sacrifice his life to save ours. Greater love has no man than that. I hope you guys see this and understand this today, that Jesus loves us greater than anyone could ever love us. He treats us the best. He gives us the best reward to look forward to. And that should encourage us to follow him wherever he leads us and to believe everything that he tells us without hesitation, without doubting, because he's leading us to good things. God has prepared good things for us, and he wants us to walk in them. And I want you to have the confidence that you are with the person you are supposed to be with when you stand beside Jesus, when you walk in his footsteps. That's exactly where God wants you, where God needs you, and where you want to be. It's such a great thing to have Jesus in my life that I'm not going to walk away from it. That's the standard that I am going to follow until my last breath. And I want you guys to have the same hope and the same drive in yours, that there's nothing better than having a good, strong relationship with Jesus, spending time in his word, praying to him as often as you need to, as often as you want to. If you don't have that relationship with Jesus, and the little things I was able to say today have convinced you that you really need to start a relationship with him, I would love to take a couple minutes and show you how to do that this morning so you can start your walk with Christ. We have a baptistry behind us full of water. Whether it's hot or cold, I don't know. We'll find out. You can start following Jesus today. Right now, you don't have to wait. There's nothing in your way. So take a minute, make your decision up in your own mind as we come up and sing our invitation song before we close. And if that's a decision you want to make, come up and talk to me. We'll take care of that. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we have a traditional service at 8:45 and a contemporary service at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Check our Facebook page for evening adult and youth service times throughout the week.